We're also on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2, and those programs are also listed there as well. You can listen to them at livewithpastoral.com. A number of articles and other things that we have, some other materials that you can find all at livewithpastoral.com. And of course, you can link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We are in Richfield, Ohio, and we're midway between Akron and Cleveland, and you can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's a commercial strip, so don't look for a building with a steeple on it. You won't find us. Look for our door, Suite 200, there at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. We're right at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road, right near where 77 and 271 cross in Richfield, Ohio. So we'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime. All right, well, we're going to get into a number of things here tonight, and as we get started here this evening, I guess we just had the full moon, just past the full moon. If you were in Africa or I don't know about Europe, I guess Africa and parts of Asia, there was a partial eclipse of the full moon tonight, not visible from here in the United States, I guess, anywhere, but if you had clear skies to see it. But it's been kind of cloudy off and on, but I'll tell you what, despite a little bit of rain at times, driving up to the station here tonight, I've driven up to the station at the end of October in the past where I've had to fight snow, and tonight was just a gorgeous drive up. All the little rain showers that had been going through off and on during the day seemed to have gone through, and it was a pleasant temperature for the last Sunday in October, and just the drive up was pleasant, and if you are on 77 coming north out of Summit County, there is an accident down in the Brecksville-Broadview Heights area. I had to get over there right around Wallings in that general area there, if you're familiar with that. So just watch for that. And you had traffic going over kind of on the side. It was in the left-hand lane, and they had one car loaded up. It looked like they were loading another car up when I came through. But so just watch for that as you're through that area. But other than that, it's been a nice day today. We've had a gorgeous week this past week, and we had a freeze last Sunday night a week ago. It got down to 29 degrees by early Monday morning at our house, and we had our first freeze and our first frost of the season, and everything was coated with a heavy frost, and I got a picture. It was really nice. The leaves seemed to be right at their peak in color, and I had posted it online. My sister posted a message saying, "That looks like a postcard." It really was nice with that white sheen. It was like confectionery sugar dusted across the green grass, and the leaves were still on the trees for the most part. And then just 5 days later, many of the trees that are in the picture that were full of nice red and orange and yellow leaves are almost devoid of leaves now. So a lot of them coming down quickly. But it's that time of year, and it's that time of year you get out, you walk through the yard, and you just hear the leaves crunching and swishing around, and the dog likes playing in them and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of nice. A nice time of year. You have to enjoy it. It's not around for long before we get into the really cold weather and everything. So get out and enjoy it. If you got a chance, you know, and you get a mild afternoon here in this autumn, get out and enjoy it. There's plenty of parks in the area that you can get out and you can enjoy the area here. It just, growing up in northeastern Ohio, you know, we are blessed with some of the best parks, park systems, the Summit County Metro Park System, the Cuyahoga County Metro Park System, the Medina County Park System, and you know, Lorain County, different ones all have these different parks in the area, as well as the Cuyahoga Valley National Park. If you like to get out, there's plenty of places to go, and it's just a glorious time of year to get out and enjoy the handiwork of our Lord as you go out walking around. Well, we can talk about that. And I was going to say, it makes me think of Psalm 19, where it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And certainly see some of the handiwork of the master artist painting the scenery here in the last week or two. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy who's ready to go tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. Now, this the subject tonight is sort of a variation of what we were talking about last week. Now, I personally have a problem not witnessing. I mean, I feel so compelled to witness to almost everybody. So there's certain close loved one that I knew I'd be seeing in the past week because of my granddaughter's wedding. In the past, this person has gotten extremely angry. Didn't even speak to me for a long period of time. So I was I just prayed to God that I would not witness to her because she knows the truth. She's heard the gospel.
Right.
So I found some Bible verses. I just thank God that I did not, because our relationship is still good.
Mm-hmm.
So I found some Bible verses I think that apply. Ecclesiastes 3:7. Now some of this might be paraphrasing. A time to be silent, time to speak, and then Proverbs 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. And I think this is the best one. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So anyhow, if you would just like to, you know, expound on that. Thank you.
Well, yeah, we could touch on a couple of those, and I'll take that last one first, I guess, since we're there. It was Proverbs chapter 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That was the one, right? And, you know, there is a lot of truth to that. You know, everybody's probably familiar with the old adage, you know, you probably heard it when you were in school, even when you were growing up, you know, you have two ears and one mouth. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. And there is a lot of truth to that in terms of not speaking too quickly before we hear a matter. And so this idea here about keeping his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles, meaning we don't just blurt out the first thing that we think or the first thing that occurs to us or the first thought that we have. You know, sometimes it takes time. And in the case of what we're talking about here, with someone that you've tried witnessing to in the past and they've become very angry and you're trying to figure out how to reach them, like you said, sometimes there's a time when, what was that in Ecclesiastes, a time to be silent, time to keep silence.
Yeah.
And
Ecclesiastes 3:7.
Yes, Ecclesiastes 3:7.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the hard thing for us is to know what time it is. Is it time to speak? Is it time to be silent? And that really only can come from our walk with the Lord, you know, allowing the Spirit of God to direct us. Because sometimes, and I'll give you an example on the time to be silent. When I was in the Samoan Islands as a missionary back in the 1990s, we were down there for about 4 years, and while I was there, the last 2.5 years that we were there, we had another couple that came down and worked with us, another family, and the two of us were invited to come to this one particular church Bible, or not church Bible study, but Bible study at this one individual's house, and there was a family member that went to our church that they were trying to get to go to their church. Now, we were planting an independent Baptist church there, and they went to a Church of Christ. Now, Church of Christ is not, this is not the United Church of Christ. This is the Campbellite one, the one that Alexander Campbell. And, you know, it's the ones that believe that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, and you have to be baptized specifically by one of their Campbellite pastors. And they also believed in arguing with people. That was, I guess, the way to put it. That's because Alexander Campbell believed that argument was better than reasoning with people. And so we were invited to go, and so we prayed about it before we went. So we get to this Bible study, and they said, oh, well, this one guy from our church just happened to be here tonight, as if he just dropped in. Well, we're looking at each other. This looks like a setup. And the interesting thing is, before we got there, when we prayed, we felt strongly impelled of the Lord to just basically be quiet, just to listen, and only to respond if we were directly asked a question, and then just basically in a short answer. Now, for two Baptist preachers, you know, that's a difficult thing sometimes. just to not say much and be quiet. But that's what we really, both of us, felt very strongly impelled by the Lord to do. So we kind of did that, and we noticed during the course of the discussions that this guy was the one who was running the show and leading everything, and he would make statements, and then he would look at us, like just watching us to see how we would react. And we just sat there, and we were friendly, and we smiled, and we responded if we were spoken directly to. But other than that, we didn't really put anything in. We didn't really ask anything. We just kind of just sat there quietly. And we could tell he was getting frustrated. And finally, the thing broke up, and we could tell he was frustrated, and other people were frustrated. We thought, well, what was wrong? I mean, did we know we didn't say anything wrong because we hardly said anything. And eventually, he kind of got frustrated. He tried to after the Bible study ended, he tried a couple times to get us to rise to take the bait on a couple challenges. And he got finally frustrated, and he left. And, you know, then a little while later, we left. Well, we were recounting this to another gentleman that went to our church, and he asked what the guy's name was. And he says, you know, do you know who that guy is? No, he just was there. They said, he is their number one debater that they send out whenever they have a situation where they're going to be confronting people in a different church. He's the guy they bring out. He's their big gun that they use.
That's really interesting.
And we didn't know anything about that, but God did. And so in that situation, his goal was to bait us into an argument so that he could destroy us in front of everybody. That was his goal. God frustrated his plans, and we were so thankful that we listened to him, and that we didn't rise to take the bait. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, it was a lot different than if we had gotten into a big argument with them and probably gotten thrown out. But so it was very interesting. So that's why I say sometimes, even though you want to answer, you want to say something, sometimes, you know, the old expression, discretion is the better part of valor. God has us remain silent or say very little, because he knows that the other person is just looking for an excuse. And if you're witnessing to somebody who gets angry when you try to witness to them, and I've seen this too, and I'm sure others have seen this, where somebody who is hostile to the gospel message will try and engage you and get you into an argument so that then they can get mad and justify their rejection of what you're saying.
Oh.
And, you know, you don't necessarily know that. And that was partly what was going on in this situation. The idea was to get us, you know, disconcerted and upset and everything so that they could justify rejecting everything that we said. And sometimes there are people who do that. I mean, I've experienced people, you know, back in August when we were recounting our adventures at the Summit County Fair with our church booth and different ones that would come talk to us. And we go there every year at the end of July. You're talking about how we have different people. They come up and challenge us with the goal of trying to get you upset. So then when they get you upset or to get you flustered and confused so that they can go away and say, yeah, see, they don't know what they're talking about. They can't entertain a discussion. They just get upset. They just start yelling at you, and they just can't handle it. And it gives them an excuse. It's kind of like, oh, let me see here. Over in Proverbs chapter 26 here in verse 4 and 5. Where it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And then the very next verse, verse 5, says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And in the first place, it's the guy that's trying to bait you into an argument, and then they try to get you to be as much of a fool as they are. So you don't want to be like him, so you don't want to answer that one. But the second one is the one that needs an answer, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And so the question is, how do you know the difference? See, these are not contradictory statements. These are statements on who you deal with and the circumstances as to whether you answer them or whether you don't answer them. And I can't always say that I've chosen correctly which one to apply, verse 4, verse 5. But it is something that as you walk with the Lord and you allow the Spirit of God to guide you, because sometimes you're being, you know, in a situation where they're just going to use what you say to justify being upset and justify rejecting the message. And so sometimes you're just not giving them that, and maybe they got to reconsider some things. But and as we talked last week too, sometimes we've reached a point where we can't go any further in our witness to them, and we have to pray that God moves somebody else across their path.
So, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
One thing I like to do when I'm with a group of people. And I always like to do the meal blessing, unless somebody else really wants to do it. And I always interject a salvation message into it. I say, thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together. What a wonderful opportunity. Thank you for this food. And if there's one person here that has not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, today, may this be the day. And I just go on and on. And I've always gotten away with doing that, but I had to bite my tongue with this particular gathering, with this particular person being here, because I knew that this person would be furious. So that was so hard for me not to do that. So I asked somebody else to do the meal blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just prayed to God that I would not do my usual meal blessing. So I just thank God that I didn't antagonize this person.
Right. But, and sometimes you can't help but antagonize somebody with the gospel message, because it is a message that you know, sometimes forces people into uncomfortable conclusions. A lot of people don't like to admit that there's a problem. And So
and then, you know, I wanted to say I was so thrilled about Mike Johnson becoming Speaker of the House. It was like an answer from God. I could not believe that it was unanimous. I believe it was 220 votes.
Mm-hmm. Republicans voted for him.
One person wasn't there. But that, I just think that was an act of God, because, Nancy Pelosi was the total opposite. But from my understanding, and I've heard Chris Long talk about Mike Johnson, all the details about how he's ultra conservative. He's a Christian, a born again Christian, and he's very, very personable. And yet, like Chris Long says, he has nerves. He has the boldness steel boldness. I mean, he can really stand up when there's important issues at hand, you know, like you try to do away with prayer or a pro-life message. So anyhow, I just thank God. I've been elated
mm-hmm.
thinking about him being, and I know you are, and so is Chris Long.
And, oh, absolutely. And for our listeners, Chris Long, of course, president of Ohio Christian Alliance. And if you go to their website, ohioca.org, I think there's some information there talking about that in a statement in regards to the new speaker, Mike Johnson. And he was on Bob France last week, our sister station, 1420. And also he was on with me this past Friday. We talked about the speaker. And for those that did not hear the conversation, what's really interesting is the new speaker is a former attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom. And here in Ohio, we have this program called the Pastor's Prayer Program that allows pastors from around the state to open sessions of the House and sessions of the Senate down in Columbus with prayer. And this is a tradition that goes back to the 1700s, really. And a few years back, I'm trying to think exactly when it was. I want to say like a good 10, 20 years. I'd have to think about it. But our current Lieutenant Governor John Husted at the time was a Speaker of the House in Columbus, Ohio State House. And there was a controversy that came up over one of the pastors and the Senate Minority Leader, which was a particular Democrat, another one of the Democrat members, took umbrage at the pastor's prayer. And as soon as the prayer was over, immediately, and I had the opportunity to do this a couple of years ago, as soon as you do the prayer, you don't even have time to leave the dais. You have to basically turn and face the flag because they immediately go into the Pledge of Allegiance. But as soon as that was done, the Senate Minority Leader and one of the other ranking Democrats basically charged over to the clerk's position and filed a grievance against a complaint against this pastor and against him being allowed to give this prayer because he kind of broke protocol and he talked about in his prayer about some of the legislation that was being considered on the floor that day. And so they took great offense at that. And so the speaker, John Husted at the time, put the whole prayer program on hold. And so Chris Long, of course, with the Ohio Christian Alliance, had contacted him about that. And in order to get some information and some things, he contacted Alliance Defending Freedom. And one of their attorneys, who was Mike Johnson, our new Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C., is the one who wrote the letter outlining, you know, the history and defending the pastor's prayer program here in Ohio on behalf of Chris Long and the Ohio Christian Alliance. And they sent that information over to John Husted, and within about 2 weeks, he had reinstated the pastor's prayer program. And so that's some of the background with the new U.S. House Speaker, Mike Johnson. Mm-hmm. And along with that, there was a picture of him shortly after becoming the speaker calling Benjamin Netanyahu over in Israel to reassure him that he stood by Israel. In fact, the very first thing that they did was pass a resolution standing with Israel. And so he had a call with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over in Israel. And in the picture, you can see his Bible sitting on the table there near where he's making the phone call. And it was obvious it was not one that was just sitting there as a prop. It was one that was well used. I mean, the leather cover was You could tell it was discolored where he was holding it, and you could just tell it was a well-used Bible, and not either that or he paid somebody to walk around with it and carry it and everything to make it look that way. But it certainly looked and appeared to be a Bible that somebody regularly carried and used, and it was sitting there. So it's exciting. And Daniel chapter 2, where it says in verse 21, "And he changeth the times and seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings." I believe that's talking about God putting people into power. And yeah, I believe that's how we got him.
I really think that was an act of God, too.
Exactly, because when Jim Jordan started getting less and less votes, more and more votes against him, each, you know, he had three elections, and each one he lost more support. It didn't look good. It didn't look good at all. And I was concerned, you know, I was hoping at that point that we would get somebody no worse than Kevin McCarthy. And but I was fearful we were going to get somebody to the left of Kevin McCarthy. And it was looking more and more that way. And of course, you know, time will tell. But Mike Johnson's off to a good start as the speaker. He's doing some good things, saying the right things, things we want to hear. And I'm excited about it. I thank God for him being there. I believe God put him there. And I just pray that God will bless and protect him. And, you know, think about it. He's second in line to the president now. Hard to believe. You know, CNN and MSNBC and all those leftist media outlets are just, their heads are exploding. The thought that if something happened to the president and vice president, the speaker of the House is the next one in the line of succession. So first in line is the vice president, second in line is the speaker. And so if something happened to the president and vice president and they weren't able to serve, we would have a conservative born-again Christian as the president of the United States. I mean, that's, it's interesting thought. And for me, I take comfort in that thought, but people on the left, their heads are exploding over this. So, So
well, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got a couple people lined up to calling in here, but I don't think we have time to take anybody just now. Well, we got about a minute, I believe, before our break. And but let's go ahead and get Terry on to start with. Terry's used to holding over a little bit, so we'll start with Terry in the time we got. Hey, Terry, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening. Pastor.
Good evening. I just let you know we got a minute, and the break is going to come up. And so after the when the break comes, I'll have to put you on hold for a few minutes.
Okay.
All right. So good evening.
Good evening. I had some on my tablet I was going to share with you that I've been studying.
Sure.
All of a sudden it came up that my files, I had to delete some of my files, so I got cut off that.
Yeah, and that happens sometimes. We plan to talk about something and God directs us into something else. I do hear the music coming up there, and but I'll have to put you on hold there, Terry, for just a few minutes. And we're going to have a short break here. And then don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And we've got another hour and a half left in the program. So stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, and you can read some of the articles that I have that are there. And there's other materials that I've got linked there. You can link to the Vote No on Issues 1 and 2 information that we have on there, as well as some things talking about what's happening in the Middle East. That's all available on there. And then, of course, there's an article there in dealing with All Israel Shall Be Saved. And so that's the latest one on there from October. And so you can read all of that and some other materials and things. And there's even some word searches that you can find there. And you can link from that to our home our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. The Richfield Bible Baptist Church, of course, we're meeting in a commercial building at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland, and right off from where Interstate 77 and 271 cross. You can find all that information out at livewithpastoral.com. And of course, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church is the primary sponsor of the program. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, 4889 Turney Road. And give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, they asked me to let you know that if you are interested in starting your own pizza shop, your own pizza business, or maybe you've got a shop that you want to add pizza to, give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza. You can call Gus at East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And Gus can help you get set up in your own pizza business. Not a franchise, be your own business, and he'll help you get set up. And, you give the pizza a try while you're there. I think if you try it, you'll fall in love with it. I think it's the best pizza around. So that's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And that's 216-341-9100. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program today. And I do want to encourage people, before we get back to our next caller here, encourage people to remember Election Day is quickly coming up. Vote no on Issue 1, vote no on Issue 2. We may touch on some of that later on, but if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, you can see some of our past programs and some other materials that are there talking about Issue 1 and Issue 2, and certainly Issue one, of course, is the radical extreme abortion on demand that will be codified into the Ohio State Constitution, which will overnight eliminate every pro-life law in Ohio and every law requiring parental consent in the state of Ohio. It's so extreme that the Toledo Blade, I believe it is, that normally is not a bastion of pro-life opinion, has actually come out against Issue 1 because it's so extreme. The guy that invented partial birth abortion, he was down near Dayton, Kettering, Ohio, I believe, and we banned partial birth abortion. And of course, partial birth abortion, without going into all the details, is essentially when you deliver the baby everything except for the head, and then you basically kill the baby before the head is delivered. You snip the spinal cord, and it sounds, I mean, it's barbaric. It sounds barbaric because it is barbaric. And they basically suck the brains out, and then they deliver the dead carcass of the baby that they've just killed. And the rest of the way, it's already been basically three quarters born. And if it's that far along, it's actually harder on the mother to stop the delivery so that you can kill this baby than it would be to simply deliver the baby. Guy that invented that has put a lot of his own money into the Issue 1 campaign because, well, it's an investment, because if Issue 1 passes, partial birth abortion will be back in force in Ohio. And there will be no restrictions, because it'll be in the Ohio Constitution that the state can have no restrictions, essentially no say in the decision of the woman and the doctor. It also means no parents or guardians can have any influence or say on the decision. It all comes down to the woman and the treating physician. And if the woman happens to be 12 years old and the treating physician is telling her this is what she needs for her own health, and you don't need to call anybody under state constitution, we'll take care of this right now. What's the poor girl to do? Well, there's more to it, of course, and it also covers reproductive decisions not limited to abortion, which is where literally Tommy can check in and get turned into Tammy without any parental notification or state regulation either. And so a whole other area. Get informed on these issues. Issue 1, certainly vote no on Issue 1. And then, of course, Issue 2 is the legalization of recreational marijuana. We currently have medical marijuana in Ohio, and there's people who want out-of-state interests who want recreational marijuana. This will not be an addition to the Constitution. This will be more of a legislative initiative instituted by the ballot. And unlike Issue 1, Issue 2 would be able to be regulated by the courts and the state legislature. But Issue 1, because it will be a Ohio constitutional amendment, specifically says the courts, you know, the state government cannot, the government cannot regulate it. So pray about that. It's close on both of them, I believe. So it's going to make a difference. If God's people get out and vote, if 10% of born-again Christians got out and voted against these issues, they would fail. But the problem is, it's hard to get even 10% of Christians out to vote sometimes. Early voting is going on now. You can vote tomorrow. Just call your county board of elections, find out when and where you can go, or vote on Election Day coming up a week from Tuesday. That is November the 7th. and you have Election Day there as well. So that's coming up. So no reason not to vote. Every reason to get out and vote, make a difference in your community. All right. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who's been patiently waiting for us to get back to him. Terry, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome back. And we get back to you here now. And you're talking about how you had some things that you thought about looking at, and your tablet decided to tell you otherwise, right?
Yeah. And then, and then it came to me, well, you got the internet.
So
that's all I had to do, is look up the internet, but look it up on the internet. Mm-hmm. So I did just now.
Yeah.
And the one thing that, sorry?
Oh, go ahead. I just said, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, the one thing that I was trying to bring up is that, and this is something I didn't understand until I think today or yesterday, I'm not sure, but because I went back to studying the Mormons for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I went through Genesis, and I decided to leave Genesis alone, give it a little bit of break,
mm-hmm.
and so I decided to go do some research on the Mormons again, and the one thing that they talk about is that that Jesus said, the other sheep
right.
I have, which are not of this fold,
mm-hmm.
them also I shall bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And the Mormons believe that other sheep that they were talking about were the Nephites.
Right, and that would be people here in the Americas.
Right.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd bring that up, because one thing that came to me is that he was talking about the Gentiles, I believe.
Oh, absolutely, because remember who he's talking to in John chapter 10. He's talking to a Jewish audience. And
right.
And you can see it later in Paul's writings about how he addresses the fact that the Jewish people largely believed that the gospel was only for them initially, and it took them some getting used to the fact that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well. And so when he's talking to this Jewish audience here in John chapter 10, and then said other fold, he was talking about outside of the Jewish nation. And there were others, the non-Jewish nations, the Gentile nations, other sheep of another fold. And
I had a hard time understanding that for some reason, but it just came to me.
Yeah, and of course the Mormons, they come up with a whole contrived thing, basically trying to say that he was talking about the inhabitants over here that he had to go to, and this, that, and the other. But it's very clear. I mean, very evident that he's talking to a Jewish audience, and so other fold would mean non-Jews.
Yeah, and Jesus' ministry, he didn't spend too much time talking to the Gentiles.
Right, and remember the woman, the woman at the well, Samaritan, but there was the other woman who begged him to heal her daughter, and he kind of ignores her a little bit, and basically says, hey, you know, the dogs under the table even can eat some of the scraps, and he talked about her great faith, and she was not Jewish. And yes, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan, and Samaritans were part Jewish. They were a result of Jewish people in the Northern Kingdom that had assimilated and intermarried with Gentiles, and they had formed a group of people known loosely as Samaritans.
And there was actually a lot of Gentiles in Israel at the time.
Oh, yeah, and remember later when Peter was called to go to the house of Cornelius, who was a Roman right. centurion, and even we had where Philip the evangelist was out, and he went up to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. And God led him to him, and he was reading a scroll of Isaiah. Essentially, he was reading about Isaiah chapter 53, and he wanted an explanation of it. And Philip explained it to him, and he ended up embracing Christ as his Savior. And, you know, so we see evidence of these Gentiles coming to Christ and having an interest in it. But it took some work in many cases to get the Jewish people as a whole, even those that had put their faith in Christ as their Messiah, it took some effort for some of them to grasp the fact that, yes, the gospel message was for the Jews and the non-Jews, for those of the sheep of another fold.
And wasn't Cornelius the first Gentile Christian
I don't know that I would say he's the first Gentile Christian, but he's one of the most notable ones because, you know, we have the people that Jesus encountered, you know, Samaritan and Gentile that he talked with. And so there may have been others. There may have been others like the Ethiopian eunuch who had been to Jerusalem because he had gone to Jerusalem during the feast days, the holy days. And he had saved up and spent a great deal of money to buy a scroll of Isaiah so that he could have some scripture of his own. And so there were Gentiles who were looking at these things. Plus, there were Gentile converts to Judaism. And so some of them may have embraced Christ as well, might have numbered among some of the disciples. So,
going back to the Old Testament for a second, you know, the Gentiles were allowed to be part of Israel, but they had to be circumcised.
Yeah, and that was part of the national covenant that they had with God. And now there were some restrictions on some of the Gentiles, such as the Moabites. A Moabite man could not. In fact, and some people have argued and said, well, how could Ruth, who was a Moabite woman, how could she have been allowed to become part of the line of David and the line of Christ, actually? And it was pointed out that it was the restriction had to do with Moabite men, not women. And but she is somebody who was a Gentile convert to Judaism.
Yeah, in a sense, you know, being circumcised, you know, it was, you know, we can become, Christians become circumcised in the heart.
Right, in a spiritual sense, cutting away the flesh of the heart so that we're able to, understand God and experience God better.
Right.
So.
So it's always a lot to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's why we keep studying the Bible. And as I was telling somebody after church today, I said, you know, when you go through it, I always tell people, it's nice to have good material. So,
and the occults, I was going back to the old Mormons for just a second. The occults are on the rise.
Yes. Well, I'd say cults and occult. Yeah. And we usually think of occult as in, you know, like the things dealing more with, you know, witchcraft and Satanism and things like that and other things. And then cults as dealing with more with like corrupted forms of Christianity and false Christianity, like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and things. So.
And spiritualism is on the rise.
Oh, absolutely. We're in a time where we see that growing, and we also were in a time when a lot of people are not putting much stock in the local church anymore, kind of like a smorgasbord sort of Christianity, you know, like going to the buffet and having a little sample here and a little sample there, and but not really, you know, sticking with any one particular place. So...
Yeah, and one more thing. I know you got another caller. I want to take.
Yeah, we do have another caller. So,
I'm just going to mention that there's a lot of things I could bring up, but the churches, you know, a lot of churches saying, "Well, let's overlook our differences and let's just believe in." You know,
yeah,
the gospel, and that's a danger.
That is a danger because, generally speaking, the differences that you overlook are the distinctives that make you what you are, and it's usually the more liberal wants you to give up what you have and embrace what they have. They don't give up what they have and embrace what you have. They want to go the other way, so that's usually what it is. I Yeah, it's just that it's 9 times out of 10, that's what you find. The compromise is to become like them. They don't become like you. And so they don't have much worry about giving up their distinctives, but they want you to give up yours. And part of that can be dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the devil, that's what the devil wants. He wants to silence churches, and he does. We had a thing here in Richfield some years back. Somebody tried to start an interfaith council, and the only thing was, you just had to agree not to say anything was wrong with anybody else. And it wasn't just churches like Protestant, Baptist, Catholic. It was also Hindus. We have a Hindu place, the Sikhs. We have a Sikh place. And Jain, which is sort of like Hinduism. And basically, in order to be a part of it, I would have to agree to say that there's nothing wrong with the Hindus or the Jain or the Sikhs or the Catholics or anybody else. Wow. Well, let's just take away my whole message. I
took the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. I chose to stick with God on that one and not get involved in that because, you know, I was being asked to compromise everything and they were not being asked to compromise anything. And so that's the way the devil tries to lure people in and silence churches that are trying to do something for the Lord. It's something they got to be careful for, especially new pastors and new churches. But, hey, appreciate that tonight, Terry. I need to get our last caller in here before the top of the hour here. But Keep in the book. Keep studying those things. Appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Jeremiah coming up next. And, Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor, a long time no see.
Yes, I haven't heard from you for a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
That's
good.
Good
Lord.
Well, welcome to the program tonight.
A couple topics. First one is praise the good Lord because he answers prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because he answered one of my prayers earlier this week about a personal matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, you know, God heals, heals you, whatever element that you have, sickness you have, or, you know, whatever your illness is, he heals you.
Well, and sometimes he does, and then, of course, I have to point out sometimes, like the case of the Apostle Paul, who had the thorn in the flesh, you know, he asked God 3 times to remove it, basically, for healing, and God said no. Basically, he said, you need it in order to stay humble. And so that happens sometimes, too.
This thing that's going on in Gaza, of course, that's not the World War III. That's just some people believe it's going to be the start of Armageddon. I don't know how that true that is, but
no, I mean Armageddon is at least 7 years away because that's at the end of the tribulation. Yeah. This, and we've talked about this before. And I know we're running out of time here. Speculating, some people say, well, could this be Ezekiel 38 invasion of Israel? And I don't think it's that either. For one thing, Israel's not dwelling in peace and safety and without gates and bars and things. It's anything but that right now. But Psalm 83, and we talked about this in some of our past programs recently, might be more the case. But a lot of the world is involved in what's going on there. I mean, the people who were killed on October 7th, French, Thai, Americans, Ukrainians, Russians, Britons, Nepalese, Germans, Argentinians, Canadians, Romanians, Portuguese, Chinese, Filipinos, Australians, Italians, Belarusians, Brazilians, Peruvians, and people from South Africa and Chile, Turkey, Spain, and Colombia, as well as Cambodia, Australia, Honduras, Azerbaijan, Ireland, and Switzerland were all killed there. And amongst the hostages, you can throw in many of those countries, as well as Hungary, Mexico, Netherlands, Uruguay, Paraguay, Tanzania, and Sri Lanka. So a lot of the world is watching very closely what's going on there. And this has the potential to develop into something, a world war in a sense. I mean, we've got the military from United States, Great Britain, France, Turkey, China, Russia, Israel, They're all there in the area. I mean, the Navy is a variety of countries are all there in the Mediterranean and also in the Red Sea and Persian Gulf areas and Arabian Sea. We have the potential for something big to be happening there, or it may prove to be more of a regional thing along the lines of the Psalm 83 with worldwide ramifications that may set the stage for the coming Ezekiel 38 battle and the rise of the Antichrist during the seven-year tribulation period. So certainly something to watch and pray about, isn't it?
But you have a good one, Pastor Al.
All right, Jeremiah, well, good to hear from you tonight. Thank you for calling, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And don't go away, though. We're going to take a break here in about a minute or so, and we have another hour to go tonight. And again, before we take that break, just a reminder about the election coming up on November the 7th. Early voting is underway, and certainly encourage you to get out and vote no on issue one, vote no on issue two, and be informed. You can call your local Board of Elections tomorrow. If you don't know where to go to vote, they'll tell you where, and or you can find your polling place and vote on Tuesday, November 7th. But if God's people get out and vote, we can still turn the tide. And, you know, the old thing, prayer changes things. And please do that. And stay tuned. We've got another hour to go. I'm going to share, because Halloween's coming up, I'm going to share some biblical ghost stories for you. So stay tuned. Door. Verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. See, she doesn't know it's Saul that she's talking to. Thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? So she's worried that she's being set up. You know, I'd like to interject here. If she's really skilled, I mean, you know, don't you think she would know? I remember one time I was down in the city of Massillon, Ohio, about just south of where I live, about 40 miles south, and I was in a gas station. It was in the evening, and the gas station had a big thing, you know, about the Ohio lottery and whatever the win the pot was, you know, and people were going in to buy. And across the street, there was a sign on a house that said "Psychic Reader." You know, fortunes told, all that kind of stuff. And I watched as these two people came from the house with a younger guy, probably about 10 or so. And these two guys, they are obviously people who lived there, and presumably one of them's wife or mother or something was the psychic reader that was guaranteed to tell your fortune. I was waiting for somebody at the gas station, and I watched as they walked across the street. They walked into the gas station, they bought some lottery tickets, and they came out and they scratched off the numbers, realized they didn't win anything, and they threw them in the trash. And I thought to myself, well, there's a fine advertisement for the psychic across the street. She can't even tell her own family what numbers to get that are that's going to make them win something. But anyway, getting back to 1 Samuel chapter 28, now, the woman, of course, is concerned that she's being set up, and it says in verse 10, and Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Now, here's a guy that supposedly serves God, invoking God so that he can do something that God specifically says that he ought not to do. Well, so the woman says in verse 11, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now, it gets kind of interesting, verse 12. It says, and when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Now, this is where it's interesting, because some people would say, well, this had to be a familiar spirit imitating Samuel. But I don't think so. I believe that this is probably the only case in the Bible where God allowed somebody who had died to come back and address the living. And the reason I believe that this is the case is because he said, or she said to him, "Whom shall I bring up?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman cries out in verse 12, it's after the woman saw Samuel. It didn't say that anything about a spirit imitating Samuel. It says and implies that she saw Samuel. And at this point, she realizes that it's King Saul that's before her that wanted this. And probably because Samuel spoke to Saul. And we'll see that here in just a minute. She said, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." In verse 13, "And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods," that's with a little g, "ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?" But you notice the narrative here? It's always Samuel. The Bible is directly calling what this person is Samuel. Now, the woman dealt with a familiar spirit, and that's given to us in the account. But it is obviously Samuel because it says Samuel came up. She saw Samuel, and Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and Samuel said to Saul, and then said Samuel. So it's all attributing this person speaking with Saul as being Samuel. And this phrase where it says that he said, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" It reflects what the woman said about him ascending up out of the earth. God's ascending out of the earth, and with a little g, not mean deities, but meaning notable persons in this sense. And Samuel is allowed by God, apparently, to come up out of what at this time would have been Abraham's bosom, or also known as paradise. And prior to the cross, we have in hell, it's divided into two parts, paradise and then also the place of torment. We can see this clearly in Luke chapter 16 in the New Testament. You go to Luke chapter 16, it starts in verse 19. People will falsely call this a parable. It's not a parable. Parables are earthly stories with spiritual applications or heavenly applications. And in this particular case, and also parables never name anybody. In this particular case, some people are named, several people, and it is an experience that most people would not readily identify with, whereas with parables, you know, the lost coin, the lost sheep, lighting a candle, all these different things, these are things people can identify with. But they couldn't identify with what Jesus says in Luke 16, where he says in verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And we know that's true because Jesus died and he rose from the dead, and many people still are not persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. So here's what's going on in Luke chapter 16. This is prior to the cross. And when people died, they went down into the grave. And that's what happened when Samuel died. He went down into the grave. And the grave in the Hebrew, grave and pit and hell come from the word Sheol. And it basically is the equivalent of the Greek word Hades that you see in the New Testament. And Hades is translated generally as hell. But prior to the cross, we have Sheol or Hades divided into two parts. One was the place of torment where the rich man was, and the other was Abraham's bosom or paradise where Lazarus and Abraham were located. This would be where Samuel would have been. He would have been in this place called paradise. And this is the place when Jesus died on the cross that he descended down into the depths of the earth, the Bible says, and he led captivity captive. Also, when the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember he said today, not tomorrow, not 6 weeks from now or 100 years from now. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And they died and they descended into paradise. The thief on the cross that trusted Christ went with Jesus into paradise. The thief on the cross that rejected Christ went into the place of torment. Jesus then presented himself as the Messiah that all of those who were in paradise had put their faith in. Abraham was there. Lazarus was there. Noah was there. David was there. Samuel was there, and these are all people, the believers of the Old Testament, that died with faith in the Messiah that would come. Jesus presented himself as the Messiah who came, and they saw him, and they rejoiced, and he led captivity captive, the Bible says, I believe it's in Ephesians 4, and he took them up into heaven. One of the accounts of the resurrection talks about the saints of the old saints coming and walking into Jerusalem at that time. And so this would be the time of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. They're brought up to heaven and presented as the first fruits. Remember, Jesus died on the cross and he fulfilled Pentecost as our Passover lamb, or not Pentecost, Passover as our Passover lamb. And then, of course, he then fulfilled the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which came next as he was presented without sin. His body was uncorrupted. He was without sin. And then, of course, he became the first fruits. He rose when the Feast of First Fruits took place, and he rose as the firstborn of the dead, the first begotten of the dead, and he took with him the Old Testament saints as the first fruits and took them to heaven. And then he came back and he appeared to the disciples and all that. I don't have time to get into that much more right now, but now, for the believer, absent from the body means be present with the Lord in heaven. There's no need to descend into Abraham's bosom or paradise, but the unsaved still go into the place of torment. Well, back to 1 Samuel chapter 28, and I know we're running out of time here. Samuel is brought up, and he came up out of paradise. and he appears before Saul, and he addresses Saul, and it's kind of interesting. In verse 16 here, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 16, where it says, "Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he speaketh by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, neither executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." And then he says this in verse 19, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Did you catch what he said there? Tomorrow you're going to be with me. Means you're going to die. Saul didn't get quite the news that he wanted there. He was told he was going to die. And it's like the two guys that wondered whether there was baseball in heaven, and they made a pact, said that whoever dies first will find a way to let you know, the other one know whether or not there's baseball in heaven. So the one guy dies, and sure enough, he appears to his friend, and his friend says, "Well, is there baseball in heaven?" He said, "Yes, there is, but you're up to bat tomorrow." So, you know, it's the kind of news that Saul didn't exactly want to hear, the news that tomorrow you're going to die. And, of course, that's what happened. He died the next day. He was killed by the Philistines. And so, again, we have this interesting story here in 1 Samuel chapter 28. The only time that God allowed somebody who had died to come up from the dead to speak to the living. And so what this tells us then is normally when somebody speaks to the, you know, somebody supposedly died that speaks to the living, it's not that person. That person's either in heaven or hell. And like I said before, if they're in hell, they'd love to come back, but they can't. And if you're in heaven, why would you want to come back? And even if you did, you can't. You're either in one location or the other. And so what then is able to come back and speak? Well, it's the familiar spirit. And that's the key with some of these fake psychics that, as I said, the majority of them are basically fakes. They're shysters. They're skilled at cold reading and hot reading, if they can get that, even better. And good at reading people and being able to lead them and pump them from information and then feed that information back to them. And the people think, oh, they're so good. They know these innermost secrets that they've told them. If you were to watch it later on and see what they do and say, you'd see that they told them. But there's that small percentage. It's dealing with something else. They're like this woman at Endor that had a familiar spirit. And best way to describe familiar spirits, spirit that's familiar with people. And that's where you get the psychic that supposedly conjures up, you know, dead Uncle Charlie. And Uncle Charlie tells you things that only you and Uncle Charlie knew. How could that be anything but Uncle Charlie? Well, there's the familiar spirit that knew Uncle Charlie better than you knew Uncle Charlie. And so he knows those things as well. So you got to be careful when you mess with this stuff. You got to be careful. That's why we only turn to God. And we look to God for direction. We look for God to God for guidance. We turn to the dark side. We turn to the familiar spirits. We're setting ourselves up for trouble. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al here tonight. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. And again, I hope you'll tune in next week and join us next time. I'm sure there's going to be some more things going on in the world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the safety of Israel and the Jewish people worldwide. And be on guard yourselves. I mean, we're not immune from things happening here. So, again, all things, look up. The Lord's returning soon. And don't let your heart be troubled. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.